Good morning, and if you just dialed in exactly at 10:10, you heard the last of our conversation with our insiders on today's Coffee with the Coder. The official call starts now, and those who want to know more can just dial in 10 minutes early at 10 o'clock and be an insider, so I'll let you know that for next time if you're one of those that just dialed in. So thank you for joining us. We're getting ready to start with episode, what is today, 59. And we've got some wonderful questions, and I can't wait to share Paula Digweed with you. Good morning Paula.
Good morning. I jumped in. Yeah, we had some good discussion with the insiders, and we didn't actually get to what the specials were, but perhaps we can round that up at the end of the call.
Okay. And I'll just mention, if you want to be an insider, like I said just a second ago, go ahead and call in at 10 o'clock instead of 10:10. And this time change. I was really, really trying to be careful and get the right time all day yesterday so that I could be on time today. So anyway, let me just start right in from this question from our friend Scarlett. And she is asking about CPT codes. She wants to know the correct CPT codes for this case. And the description is left cardiac cath with coronary angiography and left ventriculography, no selective injection of RCA, ascending aortogram, abdominal aortogram times 2, and bilateral renal arteriogram.
Okay, yeah, this is one of those cases where it's a little bit challenging, and we get, you know, lots of questions really when we're doing auditing specifically related to, you know, the heart cath with interventions. So to start off with, the easy part of the question, I think, is the left heart cath with coronary angiography and left ventriculography. That CPT code is 93458. And the description of that code is, you know, pretty much exactly what you stated in the question. Catheter placement in the coronary arteries for coronary angiography, including intraprocedural injections for coronary angiography, imaging, supervision, and interpretation, with left heart catheterization, including intraprocedural injections for left ventriculography when performed. The left ventriculography is always kind of, you know, it's just included as part of it when it's performed, and you'll see that in many of the codes in that section of CPT. So 93458 is for the catheter, is the left heart cath with the coronary angiography. Now, let's talk about the rest of the case here. You said that there was, ascending aortogram and abdominal aortogram times 2 and bilateral renal arteriograms. Now, it's kind of difficult, I'll say, to answer the question without, you know, showing you all these beautiful graphics. So if you need more information about the answer to this question, we do have some interventional procedure webinars and courses on and cardiac cath courses on AQIQ, so, and they're on special this month, so let me go on to tell you about the answer to the question. So adding to that, like I said, the ascending aortogram, which is the thoracic aortogram, and the abdominal aortogram times 2, and bilateral renal arteriogram. The catheterization for the aortography, if you were doing that alone, would be 36200, because it is non-selective. But since the catheter goes further into a selective vessel, that means your non-selective area is the aorta, and then you took the catheter and went further off of the non-selective area and selected down into a smaller order vessel, which is the first order off the aorta. So you have to know how many turns the catheter takes off the aorta, and in this case it's 1. They go straight off the aorta into the renal. The catheterization for the aortography is bundled, so you're not going to report that 36200 at all. Doesn't matter that it was thoracic and abdominal. Doesn't matter how many times you did it. It's bundled. It's not reported. But now the fact that you turned that catheter off into the renals on the right and the left, because you said bilateral, you're going to have a first-order catheterization below the diagram, which would be the CPT code 36245 for the selective catheterization first order. 36245 is below the diaphragm. If it were above, it was catheterization above, it would be 36215, but that's not the case. So it's 36245 with 75733 for the radiologic study for the bilateral renals. Now, the aortic studies, even though you don't get to get those catheterizations, right, you do, the physician actually injected dye and did a study and told us findings about what was going on in the thoracic and the abdominal aorta. So you can report those radiologic supervision and interpretation codes. That is for the abdominal aorta, for the thoracic, it is 75605. Excuse me, I said that. And the abdominal, that's right. And the abdominal is 75625. So what you'll have is, let me go back, 93458. 36245, and actually because you went in both sides, you could put the modifier 50, and the 75733 for the radiologic supervision imaging on the bilateral renals, and then the imaging on the thoracic and abdominal aorta, which is 75625 and 75605. Now, if you did report the 36200 with a 59 modifier, it might be paid, but probably would be rejected because it really is not appropriate. You even have CPT guidance that tells you during a cardiac catheterization, if the thoracic or abdominal aorta are catheterized, you would refer to the 756 codes to report the supervision and imaging, not the catheterization. Now, there could be other caveats to this case, but I don't think we should go any further because it could be confusing as we go what could have happened. So, again, we have courses on this one and similar cases. So if you need information on that, we'll talk about what the sales are at the end of the call. So, Pam, next question.
Yes, we have a question from Carrie, and this is Profi coding. She says, the provider stated rotator cuff disorder and provided the code for this unspecified disorder of synovium and tendon unspecified shoulder. Would M25.512 be more appropriate based on the documentation that was provided? And then Carrie gives us assessment and plan, rotator cuff disorder, M67.919, will treat with meloxicam. The HPI patient complains of left arm pain with abduction. This has been going on for a long time. In general, shoulder range of motion, painless and full. Resisted ER 5 over 5, resisted IR 5 over 5, thumbs up 5 over 5, thumbs down 5 over 5, Gerber's 5 over 5, speeds 5 over 5. Instability is not present.
Okay. Well, so this is one of those cases where, you know, we would go and dig a little bit because it seems like a pretty straightforward, you know, question, but really there's lots of information in that question. So to start off with, I want to talk about what the rotator cuff is made up of. It's made up of muscles and tendons that keep the ball or the head of your upper arm bone, your humerus, in your shoulder socket. It also helps you raise and rotate your arm. It's four muscles with tendons at the end of the muscles that hold your shoulder in place. So that is the rotator cuff. When the physician documents the patient has a shoulder cuff disorder, he's indicating that it could be the muscles, the tendons, the bursa, which is a sac filled with fluid that protects the rotator cuff. Any of those areas, specific areas, could have a problem because he's told you disorder. He didn't tell you exactly what was wrong with it, right? But it could be muscles, tendons. Now, there's another caveat to this based on what he reported here, but let's keep going. Rotator cuff disorders actually include, you know, or could include inflammation of the tendons, such as tendonitis, bursitis for the inflammation of the bursa, impingement, and where a tendon is squeezed and rubs against the bone, calcium buildup in the tendons, which is very painful, and it can cause calcific tendonitis, or it could include rotator cuff tears. So he didn't give us enough specific information to tell us what type of disorder. Now, so, you know, if I, you know, really wanted to know the depth of that detail, I'm going to query the provider and provide education that he or she was inconsistent in the documentation and the code they selected. Now, let me dig a little bit further here because I have a few thoughts, because you stated that the physician documented the diagnosis code of M67919, which is, he stated the words rotator cuff disorder, but M67919, which you I think clearly described really is disorder of the muscle and synovium. So there's kind of a question here to go, okay, did the doc really intend on selecting the disorder of the muscle and synovium and then just wasn't as clear in his words that he stated? Or did he just pick the first code he came to? So it's going to be challenging as to whether I would recommend changing what the physician documented. But because he selected that code of muscle and synovium, that could be a clue. So, of course, there is an argument for doing, you know, reporting the pain if you don't know more, but he actually did give you a clue, and he told you in the documentation that it was left shoulder. So you really got to consider his process. Is he just selecting from a drop-down menu? Is he copying and pasting that diagnosis code? You know, where did it come from? So it might be worth a discussion with the physician to, you know, educate and show what the options are, because, like I said, it could be exactly what he documented, not what he documented, what he documented for the code, but the words he stated was actually not specific enough. But if the code is, or the code range, I would say, if the code is within the range of being correct, the M67919, he actually stated left shoulder, so it more appropriately, it would be M67912 for the left shoulder. So there's a lot. I can't, you know, straight up say, hey, it's going to be the shoulder pain rather than the shoulder disorder that he states. I would suggest a conversation, a query, some type of education provided to that doctor to indicate, you know, hey, disorder doesn't give us enough information. Is it a tear? Can you further define, you know, tear versus tendonitis? You know, what's going on? And he may not know. He may say, hey, I don't know. And in which case, it's all about the pain to determine with other testing to, you know, that a more specific diagnosis. So based on what he said and the fact that he documented the 919, you know, if I had to select, I would probably do the M67912 because he did state left shoulder. But if I had the ability to query and educate, I would do that.
Thank you. Do I have time for this other question? I'm not sure if there, because we're already past 10 minutes.
I think I can make it short and sweet.
Okay. All righty. This was an anonymous question, so we're only going to choose to mug either Scarlett or Carrie. So this anonymous question is, this physician office, can we bill this code 93745? We have seen that it does not have an RVU. There is an LCD for our location that describes it as payable, and in our system, the rate is $99,999.
Okay, that'd be a great amount to receive for this test. So 93745 is the initial setup and programming by a physician or other qualified health professional of wearable cardioverter defibrillator, and it includes initial programming of system, establishing baseline electronic ECG, transmission of data or data to a repository, and patient instruction in wearing the system and patient reporting of problems or events. So what we did is we actually dug back to, and this is giving you a little more information, we dug back to the initial year this CPT code came out. And because, you know, someone on our staff attends the CPT symposium every single year for the last, I don't know, 25 years at least, we have those books. We don't throw them away. We look at what the changes are. We made copious notes in them. And there was no indication that the code could not be reported by a physician office. Also, the fact that there is a Medicare LCD indicates that it's a payable service. So I guess what the question boils down to is, you know, can we report it because there's no relative value unit, which means there's no fee schedule for it. So the only reason that there is no fee schedule for it, what has happened is when they were trying to determine one, they said, well, you know what, we're going to let the individual payers price and determine coverage. So it's your individual payer, not CMS proper, that will give direction on billing this code, and they will set the rate based on what you submit. Now, we went out a little bit further and did a little more investigation because, in our Google search, trying to find if any other payers covered it and what their pay rates were. And basically, there was only two out there, and the state of Alabama was the most clear, and they only pay about $31 on it. So $99,000 is a bit steep, but I would say yes, it is a billable service. If you want to, and you don't have a fee schedule rate for it, I would discuss with your practice manager or your physician what is some other test that is similar in resource and technology used, and look at maybe reporting that rate, billing that rate, because that's going to be the best thing you can do unless you have a fee schedule analyzer that can give you a rate. So there you have it.
Thank you, thank you. Okay, so now I want to remind everybody about the spring sale. All the webinars are $99, and there are some of them that are even less. So go check out the library of all the courses if there's something you've been wanting and you haven't been a member or whatever and you were in the position to where it said, you must pay us. You can be sure every one of them, it tells you what it was, and it's lined out and gives you the new price. So $99 is our sale price for the spring. We're excited to share that with you. And then if
you're...
Yes.
Yeah. Let me interrupt you here because I forgot to say let's just throw out that for insiders it's an additional $10 off, and for Revenue Warriors, they get 50% off.
Okay. Let me write that down right quick.
Okay. I throw out these things and Pam knows nothing, and so she's got to make it happen.
Already before, so yeah, if you're insider, you got to reach out to me so I know to make this happen for you, and a Revenue Warrior hat off. Okay, got it. Thank you. Okay, so ErPro Labs is coming soon. Watch for a webinar next week. I don't have enough details to share that with you right this second, but we'll reach out in any way that you are connected to us. I'll be sure and let you know. And I'm going to have to mug somebody now. So mugging, in case you're new to this platform, is where we give away an official Coffee with the Coder mug to some person who has asked a non-anonymous question. So today... that was Carrie and Scarlett. So I've got them on my desk, and I've been stirring them up for a little while. And so now let's see. The winner is Scarlett. So congratulations, Scarlett. I'm going to reach out to you and find out where to send your mug. The next episode is in 2 weeks. It will be on March 25th. And we look forward to interacting with you on Facebook and social media and just through email or phone calls or whatever, because we'd love to get more questions. So do reach out to aq-iq.com and go to the Ask button and send us another question. Thank you so much for being with us today. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.